so much for all the prayers that came my way this past weekend. Boy, was I ill. Some virus. I was down. I was two straight days in bed with that bug, whatever it was. But your prayers really helped. And I'm so much better. And I'm on my feet again. And we weren't able to have services this past Sunday because of that. But Lord willing, that will not happen again. Not for a long, long time. Well, just a one announcement. Of course, the potluck dinner will be a week from Sunday. And then don't forget, on October the 16th, there'll be no Sunday morning service because of the Grange meeting. They're coming from all over the state to our facility in the morning. But we will have evening service. Esther?
Is the potluck before after the morning service or
yep.
after the evening service?
Morning.
Okay, I'll get up and go then.
Nice, nice. now let's grab our hymnals, folks, and oh yes, oh praise the Lord, here's a good one, 125, let's stand for 125, our final hymn tonight prior to our message. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. He is the potter, we are the clay. We'll sing all four of this great old hymn of the faith, Have Thine Own Way, Adelaide Pauling.
When, Lord, have thine own way, not the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. What I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, not me just now. As in thy presence humbly I bow. On the third, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, oh power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold on my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit, till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
Oh, amen, amen. Please be seated, church. Just one last announcement. I wanted to tell you, as you were grabbing our Bibles, I had quite a shocker this afternoon. My wife, Miriam, came home with what I thought to be a French poodle. And I said, what are you doing with a French poodle? And she said, that's not a French poodle, that's our cat. She got a lion, it's called a lion cut. For the, we have a Persian cat, as you know, Princess Leah, and she's just one big bush. Well, she took her to the groomer and got her what they call a lion cut. They leave the mane on the head and a ball on the end of the tail and the paws, all four paws. They leave the fur. It looks like a little. Well, I thought it was a poodle, man, and but she looks like a little tigress. She really does. So cute. Oh boy, what a. What a blessing. But she needed it. She was all matted, you know. Her fur had become really entangled and to the point where we couldn't undo it. She had to get cut. So praise God for that. And Miriam, what a trooper she is. She worked all night, bless her heart. And she does this quite often, where she'll work through the night, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., And then she'll do errands. She'll do things, you know, before she gets sleep. So she's tough. Lord made her that way. Let's grab our Bibles, folks, at this time. Open up to the book of Ruth. And tonight we come to Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4. Lord willing, we're going to finish the book tonight. Which means next Wednesday night, you won't want to miss church because we're going to begin a new book of the Bible. I'm so thankful that since the inception of our church in 2012, we dedicated Wednesday nights to expositional teaching of Scripture, book by book, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, word by word. And we will keep that tradition till the Lord comes, because that's where the power is, in His Word, not mine. Well, we come tonight to chapter 4 of the book of Ruth, and the whole story is going to come together tonight for you. You're going to see the picture so clearly. And remember, the first week we showed you who every character in the book of Ruth typifies. Typology is a big deal with the Bible. God designed it divinely in that manner, that certain individuals would portray or represent spiritually others. And this is, we find this all through the Bible, but particularly in the book of Ruth. Let me make a statement before we begin reading. Does anybody remember who the unnamed kinsman represents? Because he's come. What does it represent?
Boaz.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Boaz represents the great redeemer. But the unnamed kinsman, you're thinking of the kinsman redeemer. The unnamed kinsman represents good works. Just give you a little hint there before we read. Because he's coming into the picture tonight. This unnamed kinsman. Okay? Now, a lot of people falsely, they have a misconception of the incarnation of the Son of God. They think, well, he did it because he loved us. Well, yeah, that's one reason. But they don't understand the necessity of God's incarnation. Because the book of Ruth perfectly shows the need for a near kinsman to be the Redeemer, okay, under the law. And there's three requirements, remember, before we read. There's three requirements to be a kinsman Redeemer. Number one, you had to be related personally. You had to be a kin of the same kinfolk, kinsman. Number two, you had to have the price to pay. You had to have the ability to pay the price that was being needed, requisite. Number three, and most importantly of all, you needed to be willing to redeem. Okay, those are the three requirements under the Mosaic Code. I won't take the time to take you there. You can look it up on your own. Under Kinsman Redeemer, Laws of the Kinsman Redeemer. It's clear. Those three requirements must all three be met. Okay? Now, look with me here in Ruth chapter 4, verse 1. Then went Boaz, by the way, title of my sermon tonight, I have named each of the sermons in Ruth, and it is Ruth, Redeemed and Claimed. Redeemed and Claimed. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he had went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this incredible closure of the book. How we thank you, Lord, for the typology found in the book of Ruth. It is unmistakable, O God. We're so grateful for Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, and who he represents. And then, Lord, we're more thankful for Ruth, his bride, that Gentile bride that he took and made his very own. And, oh, Lord, I love the part where they bear a son. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful that new birth resulted in this divine union. And Lord, we just ask you to bless your word tonight and show us what meaneth these spiritual truths. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, as we come to chapter 4, all I can say is hallelujah. Here we find the final scene of the book. The story of Ruth, the Moabitess. And she, just like the bride of Christ, whom she typifies, is finally wedded to her precious bridegroom, Boaz. Beloved, four observations must be made before we get into our message tonight. First, we must notice that Boaz had to go up in order to intercede for Ruth. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 we read, and then went Boaz, where? Up to the gate and sat him down there. Now, folks, here we have a picture of one that goes up into heaven and sits down at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for his bride. Whew. You know what he's doing? He's taking care of business for Ruth. He's going up to the elders and he's sitting them down and saying, we've got some business to take care of, boys, and it concerns my bride-to-be. Woo! I love it. Why? Because Jesus Christ, go to Hebrews 7, quickly, hold your place in Ruth. Jesus Christ is doing this very thing for you and me right now. Hebrews chapter 7 tells us so. In Hebrews 7, look at verse 25. Verse 25 says, verse 24, and this man, our Boaz, because he continueth ever, I love how the Bible speaks of Jesus Christ. He continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Notice that Jesus Christ lives forever to make intercession for us. You know what Boaz is doing? In verse 1 of chapter 4, he's making intercession for Ruth. And this is such a beautiful picture. But secondly, we must make another observation before we get going. That is, that Boaz challenges the unnamed kinsman to redeem Ruth if he's able. Look at verse 4. He has no fear. Verse 4. He's talking to the unnamed kinsman. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people, if thou wilt redeem it. Notice the will is involved. Redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I'll redeem it. Now, folks, listen to me. There's only two potential suitors for your soul. It's the devil, and it's Jesus Christ. And every single human soul is owned by one of them. You see that? They've either bought you through sin, the devil, or they bought you through blood, the cross. There's only two potential kinsmen redeemers. Now, Boaz challenges the kinsman here in verse 4. This unnamed kinsman, by the way, had the right to attempt to redeem her, but not the ability to do so. Why? He couldn't pay the price. He couldn't pay the price to what? Set her free. He could only bring her into bondage because he didn't have the wealth. You see that? Thirdly, we must observe that the Redeemer had to buy the field as well as the family and the property and the debt. Look at verse 5. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field, that's the land, of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead. Why? To raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Now what he's saying is exactly what Moses said in the law. When you redeem, you also have to marry the redeemed. Why? Lest the family of Israel perish. Boaz could take Ruth, who was the wife of Mahlon, the son of Naomi, and give Naomi a grandson. You see it? So that the family name could continue. Now, once the unnamed kinsman heard that, he wanted nothing to do with it. Yeah, I don't want her. She's a dirty Gentile dog. Not after Boaz redeems her, she's not. She's a daughter of Israel. Listen now, Ruth in the field of Naomi represents the church, while the field represents the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only God's son, whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh yeah, the Redeemer had to buy the whole shebang, not just a part. This is what the unnamed kinsman could not do, and he didn't want to do it. Fourthly, observe that there had to be witnesses of the matrimony. Look at verse 9. Ruth 4, verse 9. There had to be witnesses. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. Now, every single wedding ceremony requires witnesses. Amen? When you get married, you will have witnesses that 20, 30, 40 years from now can stand up and say, I saw him marry her. I witnessed it with my own eyes and ears. Okay, that's why we have witnesses at weddings. You don't just get married, just the pastor and two people. No, you have a whole church full of people, right? Now, we've got angelic witnesses, beloved, that we are the bride of Christ. But this is not what he's talking about prophetically. Prophetically, he's talking about the friends of the bridegroom who will witness our glorious ceremony, matrimonially, to our Redeemer. That has not happened yet. It's going to, as we are presented to him as a chaste virgin, without sin, spotless, to be his eternal bride. It's going to take place after we get raptured, folks. It's going to be glorious. Now, we've seen some observations, but in closing out the book, I want to give you seven things that will really cement it all together for you. The first is this. What do we learn? We learn seven things. First, we learn that only Boaz could redeem her. The other guy couldn't do it. Look at verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. And the kinsman said, I what? He didn't say, I will not. He said, I cannot. The devil cannot save your soul. These foolish, and I try to be as reverent as I can, these Satanists and these occultists and these witchcraft people and all this evil going on in the world, and they falsely believe that Satan can give them a paradise. They're wrong. He cannot redeem them. Look at it. I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. He says it twice. Now, yes, indeed, Boaz alone could do the redeeming for two reasons. First, he had the right to redeem her because he was her near kinsman. Jesus Christ's incarnation gave him the right to redeem the human race because he became one of us. Okay? He became in the family of Adam to deliver us from bondage. Now, secondly, he had the right to redeem her. Secondly, because he had something else the unnamed kinsman didn't have. He had the power to do it. He had the power to do it. The unnamed kinsman didn't have enough wealth. Boaz was the wealthiest man in Israel at this time. He was a mighty man of wealth and power, so he had the ability to redeem. You see it? Now, only Jesus has the power to redeem the human soul. I am so thankful that he was able to do what I could never do for myself. Secondly, we learn that this was a willing redemption. Look at verse 8, chapter 4. Verse 8, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Malion's of the hand of Naomi. Now, notice here in verse number 9 that Boaz proclaims openly and publicly to all of the witnesses that he was willing to redeem Ruth and Naomi. And he did. You see it? Why? Why did he do it? Because he was willing to do it. The other guy wasn't willing to do it. He said, I cannot. I will not. Now, he was willing to pay the full price, and so too was our blessed Redeemer willing to pay the entire price for your eternal salvation from sin. Wow! I'm so glad! Hey, folks, you know that God the Father never twisted Jesus Christ's arm behind his back? In eternity past, at some point, they had a powwow, and they discussed plans like Boaz did in verse 1 for Naomi. They discussed plans, and Jesus Christ told the Father and the Holy Spirit, I will become one of them, and I will pay the price. He volunteered to do that. You know, some people got the wrong idea about the Father. God the Father isn't some mean bully. He didn't force his son to die for you. His son did it willingly. He said, of mine own self I lay down my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. No man forceth me. I'm ad-libbing. Thirdly, what do we learn? We learn that this was a gracious redemption. Look at chapter 2, Ruth chapter 2. Look at verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Boaz was the richest man in all of Bethlehem at this time. So when he procured the redemption of Ruth and Naomi's land and all of their property and all of their debt, he paid it. They paid the debt for them that they could not pay. He did it graciously. He did it graciously. They didn't owe him anything. See? He did it freely. He did it as a gift. because he loved them. Now, Ruth, think about this. Boaz was the richest man in Bethlehem. Ruth was the poorest woman in Bethlehem. Hello? You were so poor, spiritually, you couldn't rub two nickels together. You couldn't do anything to get rid of your sins. But we have the richest person in all of eternity that says, I'll do it for her. I'll do it for her. Wow. He is something else, boy. I'll tell you. Fourthly, what do we learn? Fourthly, we learn that this was a public redemption. Look at verse 2. Chapter 4, verse 2. This was a public redemption. Wasn't done in secret. Verse 2, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. Now drop down to verse 9. Talking to the same 10 men. Boaz said unto the elders, unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Look at, drop down to verse 11. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. They all witnessed the redemption of Ruth. Did you see it? They all witnessed it in the gate. Folks, don't you know that all Israel witnessed your redemption 2,000 years ago in the Mount Calvary when he paid the price for your redemption? They were witnesses, thousands of them. They saw him bleed, they saw him die, they saw him take his last breath, and they watched him take him down from the cross and put him in his own sepulchre. They also watched something else, though. 3 days later, they saw Boaz get up, victorious over the powers of hell for your soul. Oh, yeah. They were witnesses, and when our Boaz paid the price for our redemption, he did it publicly. He did it openly. He bore your shame for you. Fifthly, what do we learn? We learn fifthly, notice the purpose of this redemption. Oh, I like this. Notice the purpose of this redemption in verse 10. Moreover, Ruth the Moabite is the wife of Mahlon. Have I, this is Boaz talking, have I purchased to be my wife? Why would you do that? To raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. And from the gate of his place, ye are witnesses this day. Now, listen carefully. In Adam, all what? Die. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. The reason he did it was to bring to life the family lineage of Naomi. Elimelech, I should say, her husband. But they couldn't do it. They were what? Dead. Folks, the picture becomes so clear. They were dead. Elimelech, buried down in Moab. Mahlon, buried down in Moab. Chilion, buried down in Moab. There's no men left. Here comes Boaz and said, I'll take care of this. And I will redeem her and bring life back to this family of Adam. Wow. Sixthly, what do we learn? We learn, sixthly, the result. Of this, what is the result of this redemption? You're going to love this. Look at verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. The result of this union was new life. New birth. Folks, listen to me. If Boaz had never redeemed Ruth, there never would have been new life for Naomi. Naomi represents who? Israel. Israel. Yeah. Folks, listen to me. This new birth, this new life is created as the union of the Redeemer and his bride come together in holy matrimony. It's a beautiful thing. The indication here is clear. We're all adults here tonight. Intimacy is involved. Amen. Intimacy is involved. And when we're intimate with our Redeemer, guess what? We'll produce new life. We'll bring forth new births. We'll lead souls to Jesus Christ that they might have life from the dead, as Naomi received and as Ruth received. Oh, it's a picture. It's so clear. But seventhly, not only the result of this redemption, not only the purpose of this redemption, but notice seventhly that Boaz took Ruth away. Look at verse 13. 13. So Boaz, what? Took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in under her, the Lord gave her conception, she bare a son. Notice the wording carefully of the King James Bible. He took her. He took her away. Amen? I just thought of something. Go to Genesis chapter 5. You know what's going to happen to you one day? He's going to take you away. I'm so glad I'm not staying in this sin-sick world much longer. He's going to take me away in glorious rapture. Look with me here, though. Interesting passage here concerning a man in Genesis chapter 5. His name is Enoch. And there is a book of Enoch. Very interesting reading, though not scripture. It's not scripture. But look at this. And it says here in verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Same wording. God took him. Boaz took Ruth. She disappeared. You know where they went? When she disappeared? Read the text. They went for a honeymoon because she conceived after he took her away. Folks, we're going on a honeymoon. We're going to be taken up. God took him. And look what it says. And he was not, for God took him. You know, we're going to be standing here talking to somebody, and we're going to go up. We're going to fly up yonder to be with the Lord. They're going to say, where'd he go? Someone took him. Someone took these people. Yeah, Jesus Christ. Our Boaz. He's going to take us. Glory to God. One day, our Boaz has a plan to blow that trumpet and take us up yonder. One more thing, though. One more thing we learn. Number 8. And that is this. Notice that as a result of this redemption, a king was born. Look with me in verse 14. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. That's what redemption brings. A restoration of spiritual life to the soul. And a nourisher. That's what redemption brings. Spiritual nutrition and daily nourishment from the word and spirit of God. In thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child. Picture this. Naomi represents who? Israel. And she took the child, her grandson, Ruth's baby, Obed, and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. Oh, folks, this is so crystal clear. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Who was David? The king of Israel. And what covenant did he receive? Begins with a D, not rocket science. Davidic. David received an everlasting covenant from God. That there would be a king born of his seed, the same seed of Boaz, the same seed of Ruth, the same seed as Naomi, and that that seed would become an everlasting king over the Jews, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So folks, what am I saying? I'm saying that as a result of this redemption, a king was born, and that king will live forever. David was promised a king, a kingdom, and a people forever, a throne. Now, folks, listen. As a result of Boaz's redeeming act for Ruth, the Davidic covenant could one day and would one day be established. And our Boaz will one day soon sit and rule over the house of Naomi, Israel. Thank you, Lord, for the book of Ruth. We could go on and on. Lord, there's so much more we could dig out here. But Lord, I like the part down there in verse number 13. It says, you took her. You took her on a grand honeymoon. Lord, that picture could not be any clearer than you've painted it for us. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you that one day, soon and very soon, the King is going to take us, the bride, out of this world of darkness. And we're going to go on a 7-year honeymoon that we will never forget. It's going to be so glorious. It's going to be so wonderful. It's going to be so divine. We'll never, ever forget it. Lord, we love you. And we thank you that you're coming for us very, very quickly. Lord, we thank you that all prophecies of this book will be fulfilled exactly as you said they would. And we thank you that we are your Ruth. We are that Gentile who had no hope. She had no finances. She had no way of helping herself. But along comes Boaz and took care of everything for her. Forever. She was set for life. Thank you, Lord, that we are set for eternal life through our Boaz. Thank you for the book, Lord. There's so many spiritual lessons to be learned. We could go through it again and again. And Lord, we just thank you for these truths that we've gleaned. And Lord, we pray that as we embark upon a new journey next week in your word, a new book of the Bible to study, that you would be with us in a special way and teach us many, many truths that will draw us closer to thee, that will strengthen us in our Christian walk of faith, that we be better servants for thee in these last days of the last days. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. And let's grab our hymnals for a closing hymn tonight. Let's open up to hymn number 84. Another wonderful old hymn of the faith, 84. William Featherstone wrote, concerning my Jesus, I love thee. We'll sing the first and the second in closing, beloved. And altar is open if anybody needs it. Might want to just thank the Lord for that glorious redemption that he's provided for you. Oh, amen. That guitar sound good tonight. Praise the Lord for strumming that. Glory to God. What a great hymn of the faith to close with. And appropriate, too, because verse 2, stanza 2 says clearly, He purchased my pardon. Boaz purchased my pardon. Glory to God.